Was that helpful to you?
Amen.
All right. How many of you were not here this morning? All right. Well, you're going to get doubly blessed. We'll get it across to you. We'll reiterate and go over these things with you. All right. So let me tell you. Let's see where I want you. Turn to Colossians chapter 4. Okay, and then I'll tell you a funny. Is that all right? So there's a guy that's old. I mean, he's old. He's older than me, and he's in his 80s, and he loves to fish, and he was sitting in his boat the other day when he heard a voice say, "Pick me up, pick me up." He looked around and couldn't see anyone. He thought he was dreaming when he heard the voice say again, "Pick me up, pick me up." He looked in the water, and there floating on the top was a frog. The man said, "Are you talking to me?" The frog said, "Yes, I'm talking to you. Pick me up. Then kiss me, and I'll turn into the most beautiful woman you've ever seen. And I'll make sure that all your friends are envious and jealous because I'll be your bride." The man looked at the frog for a short time, reached over, picked it up carefully, and placed it in his front pocket. The frog said, "What, are you nuts? Didn't you hear what I said? I said, kiss me and I'll be your beautiful bride." He opened his pocket, looked at the frog. He said, "Nah, at my age, I'd rather have a talking frog." Praise God. All right. Colossians 4, verse 12. It says, laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So it is the will of God that you and I stand perfect and complete in all the will of God, isn't it? And how would we be able to do that if we couldn't know it, if we couldn't know what it was? And then Colossians 1:9 says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." So, you know, the Apostle Paul believed that prayer was important in helping to facilitate the will of God being in spiritual understanding about the will of God. In believers that he was in relationship with, so he prayed that. How many of you believe it's possible for you and I to walk in it, to walk in the will of God? We don't need to be confused about the will of God. But here's the point that I brought up this morning, and I want to tag on tonight, is that there's so many subjective things that people say about the will of God, and I mean we've been in ministry now for 30 plus years, close to 40 years, and Janice and I have heard a lot of people tell us that they're in the will of God, and this is the will of God, and God told them this, and God told them something else, and the Bible that I read, it just doesn't line up with it. You know what I mean? And so there's so many subjective things that seem out of character to the will of God, and it makes God look like he's fickle, or he's got schizophrenia and everything else, and you know, then you end up having to just pick up the pieces later in people's lives. And so, you know, I've had a passion for people to hear the voice of God accurately. I shared that with you all last time I was here, and encourage you to get those CDs because it'll be very helpful. But one thing that I discovered, it just came by revelation to me while I was just reading some of the scriptures. In fact, it was just when I was reading 1 Thessalonians 5:18 that I shared with you this morning, that if we would just read the Bible, how many of you have a Bible? If we would just read the Bible, okay, read the Word of God, and find the places where, of course, there's so many things that line up with what I'm saying, but there are some specific things that the Bible just says very clearly, this is the will of God. Now, of course, if you're reading the, this whole book is the will, is the last will and testament of our Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? Okay, but when specifically saying this is the will of God, then I want to pay attention to that. If I want to walk in the will of God, it might behoove me to look and see in the book what says this is the will of God. Does that make sense? And then if I'm not yielding myself to draw on His grace to walk in what the Bible says is the will of God, how can I presume upon the Lord that He's going to show me some other part of His will? Yeah? And so that's what I want to talk about, and I'm not going to be able to cover it all tonight, so if Pastor ever has me back, I may try to finish some of this, but what I want to talk to you about is walking in the will of God. Walking in the will of God, but specifically I want to talk about walking in the objective will of God, not the subjective. You know what I mean by that? It's obviously this is the will of God. The subjective would be, you know, based on our sense of what we think God's telling us, then it's going to be subject to individual. But this is not subject to somebody's opinion. This is the objective will of God, a directive from God. And so if I'm walking in this, what I want to submit to you, if you walk in these things that I'm going to talk to you about and show you, in fact, you can read the Bible yourself and figure and find these things. You don't have to wait for me to preach or teach it. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to listen to that. He's talking to you. I mean, there's a whole lot of things in here. I mean, just look up will of God in your concordance, and you can just, man, you can add to my series here, okay? But whatever he says, this is the will of God, well, then I'm gonna walk in that. And if I walk in that, then I want to submit to you that the subjective things about, you know, where I'm supposed to live, where I'm supposed to work, you know, what decisions I need to make that the Bible's not going to be clear about, those things will become clear if I'll just do what He tells me to do. Amen? So, in some specific directives from the Word that are clearly identified as the will of God, and when we do these things, it'll screen out the weird and subjective things. But number one is giving thanks in everything. Everybody say giving thanks in everything. Look at First Thessalonians 5, verse 18. In everything give thanks. Everybody say in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. What's the will of God? Is it the everything that you're going through? No, it's giving thanks in everything. And I shared it with you this morning. You can be absolutely in the center geographically and vocationally in the center of what you know God's told you to do, and yet you can be totally you can be right in the center. You know God called you to a church, to a city, to a whatever it was, and then you're right in the middle of, in a career or vocation. You know God called you there, and you're right in the center, in the middle of the will of God. You can't get more in the will of God than that, and you can step right out of it by ceasing to be thankful in the midst of what's going on where you are. Now, guys, this is huge. And so many times that's what happens. God sends us to a place, and then you find out that people have shoulder blades and that's not angel wings. And they have flesh and they make decisions, and there's no perfect environment. I don't care where you go. You're not going to find it. People are going to say things and they're going to do things, and you know, it's just not perfect until we get to heaven. And so how do you mitigate imperfect circumstances? Is giving thanks in the midst of imperfect circumstances. That's how you do it. I'm going to give God thanks. I'm not going to stop being thankful. Now, okay, maybe in my attitude I got off for a little bit, like the Apostle Paul. They got thrown in jail, remember? It gives me hope to see that they waited till midnight to start praising God. They didn't get thrown in jail at 11 o'clock at night because magistrates don't work that late. So that gives me hope. So it's not about you and I never having a bad attitude. It's just that we're not going to park there. Okay? It's after we just get to a point where, all right, it doesn't feel good when you get, you know, you get your legs cut out from under you, or you get hit a low blow, or somebody that you trusted betrayed you or talked about you, or somebody did something and disappointed you. Okay, I'm sorry about that, guys, but that's just, you're not in heaven yet. I said, you're not in heaven yet. So quit acting like it. You're not there yet. The way that we mitigate or factor out, that keep ourselves out of becoming offended and getting out of the will of God, is we just, in the midst of when everything doesn't go right and when everybody's flesh doesn't do right and all that, and circumstances aren't lining up, or delays happen and disappointments happen, in the middle of that, the will of God is that no matter what's going on, I'm going to be thankful. That's the will of God. And again, I know it's like, man, I couldn't get off of this morning, and hopefully you're making the adjustment so I can get off of it tonight. But it's, you can be right in the middle. Right in the center of what God called you to do. And then you get your mind and focus on somebody else, or what somebody said, or somebody didn't do for you, or whatever. I mean, you know, it's infinitum, man. All the, you know, the plethora of things that we could say, you know. But again, we're not in heaven yet. And the issue is the will of God now. And the will of God now, especially when those things are going on, is that in everything, give thanks. This is the will of God. That's the will of God. And then we read this morning, Proverbs 13, 9. It said, the light of the righteous. How many of you are the light of the world? Jesus said, you are the light of the world. The light of the righteous rejoices. The way we turn on our light to let everybody else see is when difficult things are going on, we start praising God and we're thankful. Now, guys, look, I can't. This is the will of God. More than you're being right in your vocation or your location, the will of God is giving Him thanks in the midst of challenging places. If we fail to do that, we're out of His will. And I don't want to be out of His will. And I don't want you to be out of His will. I want to walk in His will. And here's His will. You want to know what His will for you? I don't care what you're called to do in life. His will for you is wherever you're at, is that in the midst of everything, you're thankful. That's powerful, guys. That is so powerful. I'm preaching to myself. And you take this and you preach it to someone. How many of you want to walk in the will of God? Okay. Then be thankful where you are. Be thankful for your husband. Be thankful for your wife. Be thankful if you're single and you'd like to have a husband or a wife. Be thankful where you are. The way to get to the subjective will of God is to be thankful right now. You're not going to get to that part of the will of God if you're out of the will of God right now. You don't get there to the goal that God put in your heart for, you know, a ministry position or your career position or the husband or the wife or whatever it is God put in your heart. The way you get there is being in the will of God here. And it's being thankful. I said it's being thankful. Amen? Praise God. Man, I think you're getting it because I can go to the next point finally. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, forevermore. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Promotion time has come. Thank you, Lord. All right. So the second point that is the will of God is actually in the same verse. It's just not as obvious. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Everybody say in Christ Jesus. So the second thing about the objective will of God is living in Christ Jesus. Living in Christ Jesus. The will of God concerning you begins in Christ Jesus, doesn't it? I mean, first of all, being born again. Thank God for a church that reaches out to people that don't know the Lord and give opportunity for altar calls and bringing people into the kingdom. But so the second application, though, is that Jesus is the person that we can measure the will of God by. Does that make sense? He's a standard. He's the person that helps us to determine the will of God. Now, I'm not talking about what is going on in the name of some people's idea of grace today, where they've moved away from the written word of God and they say that, you know, well, Jesus is the word, so we follow Jesus. Well, that sounds good, but the problem is if you try to separate Jesus from his word, then they're going to create Jesus in their own image. It's a Jesus of the Bible of the scriptures, right? Don't follow that garbage. It's happening out there, and I don't get on social media much. But when folks start going down that garbage road, doctrine garbage road, I'll hit them back with the word. You cannot separate Jesus from the Bible, and that's what people are trying to do today. Anyway, it's living in Christ Jesus is you look at Jesus in the Bible. And whatever he does, that's I run, the will of God for me has got to fit into Jesus of the Bible. It's living in Christ Jesus, right? And so whatever I see him do, I do. If he doesn't do it, I don't do it. If it doesn't line up with him and his character and his nature, you know, I chunk it. I shared that with you a little bit about, or a lot, when I was talking about the voice of God. I don't care how supernatural it is, if it doesn't line up with what I know about his character, then I throw it out. Well, this is the same thing. The will of God is inside. It's got to be consistent with the nature, character, and ways of Jesus that are revealed in the Word. And you just have to ask yourself that question. Is it inside of him or outside of him? Would Jesus be doing, you know, we years ago, what would Jesus do? Well, what would he do? Look in the Bible and see what he would do. Yeah? No matter what suggestion somebody gives me or what I think I'm hearing from God, if it doesn't line up with his character, what I know about him, I set it aside. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus through the Bible, okay, you are going to be deceived. You're easy prey for the devil. And you're left to follow signs and fleeces and closed, open and closed doors and prophetic words or some other strong leader or individual outside of the Bible. And it's not the way God has ordained it. So it's living in Christ Jesus, not outside of him. It's just reading what the Bible says about Jesus, and that's the will of God. Is Jesus is the picture of the will of God and what he did and how he treated people and how he valued people and all of that. And man, that's why we need to read the Gospels and look at that and see what Jesus did. And that's saved my bacon a lot of times. You know what I mean? I just stop and think, all right, well, how did Jesus handle these things? And how did he treat people? And how did he do these things? And you know what it does? In leadership, it helps me to be very slow in carrying out my authority when it comes to people. That I consider the fact that my decisions can be very harsh. You know, if I make quick decisions and I just wait, I back off, I pull the reins in because, you know, I want to manifest Jesus. How about you? You know, is what you're doing, who is it manifesting? Does it make sense? Who are you revealing by your actions and by your decisions? Is this your flesh and your macho ego, or is it Jesus? Are people going to be drawn toward Jesus or away from him? Look, this is the will of God. It's in Christ Jesus. And so I this is the way I live. I don't do it perfect, but it's the way I live. Jesus, how's this fit with who you are? And I wait, especially when I'm making decisions that affect people. I wait until I find out what's the best interest of those that I serve, and I stay inside Christ Jesus. Amen. And so that's very helpful. Now let me tell you some things real quick before we turn to the next verse. Let me tell you five things that are never the will of God and that are not Jesus, okay? Can I tell you what these are? And these have helped me a lot in my mind. You know, a lot of the battles we face are in our minds. And so these things are never from God, so I can always know if my thought patterns go down this road, I know it's not from God. So I just don't even dwell. I don't take any time to dwell on it. Number one is fear. Fear is never from God. So, you know, God's not giving us a spirit of fear, right? Over 300 times in the Bible, he says, fear not. Number two is doubt. He told us not to doubt not. You know, those that are vacillating, wavering, back and forth, they don't receive anything from the Lord. So I know if fear strikes me, even if I'm reading the Bible and fear hits me. You know, the devil uses Scripture, doesn't he? So if I'm reading the Bible and fear hits me or doubt hits me, you know, I know it didn't come from the Lord. Are you with me? Then confusion. Everybody say confusion. God's not the author of confusion, is he? 1 Corinthians 14:33. Then number four is discouragement. That's never from God. We're supposed to take courage, not be discouraged. Isn't that true? We're supposed to be of good courage, Joshua 1, 6, 7, and 9 says. So fear, doubt, confusion, discouragement. Number five is guilt and condemnation. There's therefore now no condemnation, Romans 8, 1. Fear, doubt, confusion, discouragement, guilt, and condemnation, they're never from God. Now listen, guys, this will help you big time in spiritual warfare. You know, most spiritual warfare is right between your ears. And so no matter what thoughts come to your mind, no matter what it is, what you're reading, what you're listening to, it could hit you while I'm talking to you. The devil could take the words that I'm saying and twist them, but if it produces fear, doubt, confusion, discouragement, or condemnation, it's not the Lord. I cast it out. I don't even spend any time with it. Those things are never from God. Now, man, I tell you what, those tools I use a lot, and because they're not his character. It's not who he is. Amen? And you know what? So many times we're spending a lot of time on fear and worry. And all worry is you're meditating on fear. That's all that is. So that's not the will of God. All right, number three. Look at Romans chapter, well, let me just tell it to you, and then we'll look at Romans chapter 12. It's total commitment to Jesus. This is the will of God. Total commitment to Jesus. First thing it's we know the Bible says is the will of God is being thankful and everything. Number two is living in Christ Jesus. Number three is total commitment to Jesus. Now you understand we could take each of these points and talk and just unpack them all day, but I'm just trying to give you some highlights here. So look at Romans chapter 12, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Everybody say living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Everybody say the renewing of your mind. That you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect what? Will of God. Now, you know, you could divide it up and you could make this a, you know, you could really say, well, there's a good, there's acceptable, and perfect will of God. And some people talk, teach it, it's 30, 60, 100-fold. The bottom line with me is, I want the whole package. I want the whole enchilada. I want all of the will of God, not just part of it. How about you? I want to go full bore. I want the whole thing. Amen? And so here's this next step is what is absolutely will help you fulfill the good, acceptable, perfect will of God is when it says you're a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice means total commitment to God. It means you're all in. It means you're no holds barred. It means you're 110% in the game. Now, you know, they're Christians that are born again. They're saved. Jesus is their Savior, but He's not their Lord by their actions. And I'm not saying they're not born again. They're not a disciple. They're a believer, but they're not a disciple. And I'm telling you, the will of God for you and me, the will of God is that we're all in. That we're all in. I mean, that a total commitment to Jesus. And I know the difference because I was saved in 1973. And I was saved in a Methodist church on the word I'd heard 7 years before in a Baptist church. And I could have been saved 7 years before, but I was afraid that God might call me to Africa or China or India. And I was afraid because my parents were divorced and I wanted a family, a wife and a family. And I didn't think any girlfriend would follow me to one of those God-forsaken places. And that kept me from being saved. Fear kept me from being saved. So finally I yielded to the Lord and got saved. But for 3 years, my life, I still controlled it. I wasn't all in. I had fire insurance. You know what I mean? And a lot of Christians are like that. They're believers and they have fire insurance, but they're afraid to commit 110%. Listen, guys, the will of God is you're a living sacrifice. The problem with living sacrifices is they can get down off the altar. And they have a whole lot of conditions Lord, I'll stay on the altar as long as this and this and this. But if you ask me to do this or this or this, I'm off the altar, man. But this is, you want the full will of, how many of you want the full will of God? The full will of God is you stay on the altar. You don't belong to yourself. I don't belong to myself. I'm all in. I'm 110%. And when I got filled with the Spirit in 1976, my wife and I both got filled with the Spirit. We used to watch Johnny Carson. And Johnny went out of town a lot. And when he'd go out of town, we'd flip the channels and 700 Club would come on. And we started watching 700 Club, and my wife and I got filled with the Spirit and got the left foot of fellowship out of a Methodist church, and that's hard to do. Because she got up on Easter Sunday morning and told about her experience being filled with the Spirit. And so, anyway, but we went, 1976, we're all in. We haven't been out since. I mean, it's all in, guys. I am full bore, 110% following Jesus. I don't do it perfect. But one thing is I dove in. I'm not back on the bank. I'm not controlling my life. I'm not setting my own plans. I'm not trying to figure it out myself. It's, Lord, I'm following you. I belong to you. I'm not mine. I'm yours, God. Say, I'm yours, God. And see, you cannot find the subjective will of God until this direct objective will of God is so in your life that I'm all in. I don't have one foot on the shore and one foot in the water. And when he's talking about a living sacrifice, that's what he's talking about, guys. Is 110% in. And you can't find, you cannot get to whatever, discover and get revelation on what he's got for you down there as long as you got one foot here and another foot over here. How many of you know that can be a little dangerous? Riding the fence. There's a lot of Christians riding the fence. I could give you some illustrations here, but I think it would not be appropriate about walking on the fence. It could be harmful to your health, too. You got the picture? It could hurt your future productivity. Thank you, Jesus. You don't want to ride on the fence. Can I get a witness? And there's so many people, that's the Christians, that's where they are. You know, Lord, I'm okay as long as it doesn't require me to be fanatical and, you know, all this, I'm all right. You know, I can take Jesus and, you know, I'm going to heaven and, you know, it's okay as long as it doesn't bother my country club friends and all this. Listen, guys, okay, Jesus wants to touch young country club friends, but the will of God is all in. I'm not back on the shore. My life isn't my own. I'm not making my own plans, trying to figure it out. That's not the will of God. I can tell you, having our own plans, our own thing, and then asking God to bless it. I don't have to ask God to bless my plans because I seek Him before I do a plan. I found out His plan and I go out and do it. It's already blessed. I don't have to, God, would you bless my plan, my little deal? I don't want my little deal and I don't want your little deal. I want you and Jesus wants you all in. 110% committed to follow Him wherever that takes you. Amen. That's the will of God, guys. That's the will of God. And it's, look, since 1976, that's where my wife and I have been. We hadn't looked back. I mean, sometimes we felt like we're drowning and felt like, but it doesn't matter. I know if I'm stepping out on the water, if Jesus could save Peter, He'll save me. Even if I make a mistake, even if while I think I'm following Him, if I'm stepping out on the water, you know, even if I make a mistake, as long as I'm all in, He's taking care of me. And He's going to take care of you. But what He can't do is He can't do anything with you with one foot over here and the other ankle in the water. He can't do much with you. You're not going anywhere. The move of the Spirit in the water is not taking you anywhere till you're up above. You're all in. That's the will of God. It's a living sacrifice that doesn't get down off the altar when things get hot, when things don't go your way. It's, God, You called me to this church. You called me to this marriage. You called me to this job. You called me to this business. I followed You. I'm here because You called me here. And so this mess, it's Your problem. And I'm not leaving. Though I felt like leaving. I'm not leaving. Wherever, when I dive in and follow Him, wherever He directs me, that's where I'm at, 110%. That's the will of God. It's not that we'd be vacillating back and forth. You know, hearing people tell you about how God led them, and then you see them 6 months later, they're doing something totally different. 6 months after that, or a year after that, something totally different. Listen, you don't know the God that I know. Your problem is you hadn't gone all in yet. You know why you hadn't gone in? You want to try to, you know that old song, Carrie Underwood, Jesus, take the wheel. You hadn't let go of the wheel yet. Yeah? I'm just telling you guys right now, okay? I didn't write this. This is the will of God. And we don't get to the subjective, the other things that we'd like to find out God's plan for our lives. He can't even download it to us because we can't handle it. We'll blow it up. God had a plan for Moses, didn't he? Okay? But Moses, he's going to be the great deliverer, and he's going to do it in his own strength. He starts doing it by killing one Egyptian at a time. Right? Okay. And then he goes and gets his, after he does that and they run him off, he goes and gets his BSD degree. Backside of the desert. Right? Okay. And then he comes back and now he's learned the lesson of ego and pride and all that. That's not what's going to accomplish it. But he's not yet all in because he's still, God's telling him what to do and he's arguing with the Lord. No, Lord, I can't do that. I can't talk, all this, you know. And then so finally, he's stepping out. He's going to go do it. But then God had met him, remember? He met him and he said, what is it you have in your hand? Y'all remember that? What do you have in your hand? What did he have in his hand? It was a rod that our staff that represented his ministry. What did he have to do? He had to throw it down, right? He had to throw it down. He had to lay it down. What did it become? A serpent, a snake, which represents every one of us that in our ministry, in our plans and our ideas, when we're the ones directing it. It's James and John. Lord, should we call fire down from heaven? Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you are, or you're of. That's not who I am. That's not of me. And so Moses had to pick it up. How did he have to pick it up? He had to pick up that snake by the tail. How many of you know I'm not handling snakes at all? But if I'm going to pick up a snake, that was a big snake. And if you pick it up by the tail, what does that mean? You're going to get bit. What does that mean if it's a poisonous snake? It means death to you. So Moses, he had to die to his own plan, his own dream, and doing it his way. He had to pick up what God called him to do, God's way. He had to be all in. And when he picked it up, that rod that was formerly his became a rod of God that parted the seas, that did all the miracles, that all the stuff that God had shown him, but he tried to do it his way. The will of God cannot be accomplished by the strength of the flesh or doing things our way. And if you want the will of God, guys, it's just like that. You're all in. My way, my plan, the way I thought it was going to happen, my image, all that's got to die. Because it's not about me. It's not about how I look. If it's about my image, then all I'm trying to do is impress you. And I cannot bless you trying to impress you. And I did that for a while in ministry, trying to impress people. And who's that about? And so listen, I'm just telling you guys, the will of God, it's a living sacrifice. I'm not my own. I don't belong to me. I'm all in. I'm laying it all down. And if that means, God calling me from Houston, Texas to Decatur, Texas. Well, first of all, call me to Houston, Texas and pastoring a church that I figured it was going to just blow up and explode, David. And it exploded to exploded from 14 people to 40 in 3 years. Just grew a mega church, man, in Houston, Texas. And that had to die, first of all, my image of what I thought, you know. And man, I died 1,000 deaths every time I get up on a Sunday morning and you try to preach. One Sunday night there was 4 people, and 2 of them were Janice and me. But we might have 15 or 20 on Sunday morning, and you know, I mean, that's hard on the flesh. I died 1,000 deaths until the Lord, and I was complaining to the Lord. I've told this story before, but I was complaining to the Lord one time and pouring down rain in my car, and you know, God, you've called me for more than 40 sheep. My ministry's more than this. And then finally stopped complaining. The Lord said, well, are you? See, I was out of the will of God, wasn't I? And the Lord said, what have you done? I said, I guess so. And he said, if all I sent you here for is what I've done in the life of this one man, is that enough for you? And I learned God's value system that day. And I settled into my call and just realized, you know, and I stopped suffering with 15, 20 people. Didn't matter. God, it's not about how many comes. It matters about my obedience, and I'm all in. I'm all in, Lord. If there's 5 that come, or 2,000, or 200, or 20, or it doesn't matter. That's not my job. The increase is His, right? The obedience is mine and yours. I'm all in. And then finally, I get delivered out of that situation. We merge that church, and then God calls me to Decatur, Texas. Moved from 5 million people, almost 5 million people in Houston, to 4 million plus, to 5,000. Now He's certainly sentencing me to anonymity. Forget, my image is gone. But Decatur, Texas is where I met Pastor Bob. It's my pastor. It's where I connected with Paul Milligan. It's where I connected with Andrew. And so many of my significant relationships came to the backside of the desert in Decatur, Texas. But see, the thing is, guys, it doesn't matter. That's the point. Too many times we factor in, how's this going to make me look? And we miss the will of God because we got our foot on the bank. And everything's got to line up with finances and all this stuff. And look, guys, forget all that. The deal is, God is going to take care of me. I'm all in. That's the will of God. And we can't get to the rest of the will of God until we're all in right now. Are you with me? And so many times the enemy tries to get our hearts to wander from a place, from a marriage relationship, from, you know, a job, from a church, from other relationships, because things aren't just going perfect. Do you know every ministry and every church goes through seasons? And I discovered this, pastoring, that, you know, it's great in the springtime and it's great in the fall, in the harvest. But, you know, in the summer it gets hot, in the winter it gets cold. And there are winter seasons. And many times winter seasons is when it doesn't look like anything's going on. And what really happens, though, in the winter season of a church's life, you can watch and see those who are faithful and those who you can trust to put in leadership, so that when the spring comes, then you can handle the harvest. It's awesome. The question is, guys, how many of you want to do the full will of God, the good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Okay, this is what it is. It's I'm all in. I taught this at a Karis Bible College, and this girl, if I would have thought about it, I would have bring it. Maybe another time I will. She wrote a song. I mean, God gave her a song, All In. Say, I'm all in. Jesus, the Bible says there's just a lot of verses here. I don't know if I want to go into all these verses. You know, when Jesus was saying, if it be possible that this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Not my will, but your will be done. Matthew 26:39, right? And then that's what that was about. It's, Lord, I'm all in. I'm following you. I'm following your plan. Hebrews 5:8, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Now, that suffering here was not the cross. He didn't learn obedience. Well, I mean, that was the end of it, but this was circumcising his heart from the will of the flesh. This is not allowing your heart to lead you or impede you to cause you, you know, when people come up and do things that you don't like and there's internal suffering, it means you have to tell the flesh no. That you learn obedience by the things you, by making your flesh suffer. 1 Peter 4:1-2. Let me read it. I don't want to quote it. Let's look over there. 1 Peter 4. For since Christ also suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So, what does it mean to suffer in the flesh? Suffer in the flesh means I'm just not going to yield to my flesh. You're going to tell your flesh no. And if I'm a living sacrifice, then I don't give my flesh a right to bite somebody's head off when they try to bite mine off. Are you with me? This is the will of God. This is the will of God. I'm all in, so my flesh doesn't, I don't give my flesh a right to pull me down off the altar when it doesn't feel good, when I'm having to deal with unlovely people, and when I'm having to deal with circumstances where it looks like it's taken me way far away from what the promotion, I believe in the dream that God gave me. Did you hear me? See, God doesn't need your help fulfilling your dream. God doesn't need you. Hold on here, Lord, just a minute. I need to get down off the altar and fix some things. Because remember that dream you told me? Oh, we got to fix it. We got to straighten some things out. And I'll get back on the altar after I help you. That's what Rebecca did. Remember? She had a word from God that Esau was going to serve Jacob. Jacob was going to have the blessing. Isaac's getting ready to miss it, isn't he? Isaac's going to put his blessing on Esau. And so Rebecca had to get down off the altar. I believe you, God. I believe your word. But, you know, you need a little help right now. Because my husband, I know my husband better than you do. And so she'd been watching reruns of I Love Lucy. How many of you ever watch I Love Lucy? It's funny, but every one of them is conniving and scheming and manipulating. And so Rebecca got down off the altar and got Jacob in on her scheme. And then the long and short of it is that she lost the love and respect from her husband and her son Esau, and she never saw Jacob again or her grandchildren. Now that was a blessing, wasn't it? Because she got down off the altar and she had to fix it. She had to try to work things out. You know what happens when you're tempted to get down off the altar because you see things that are happening different than the will of God? Remember, you're a living sacrifice. God doesn't need your help. He needs you to stay all in. He doesn't need your flesh manipulation and working things out, conniving, trying to scheme, trying to make it happen. Ladies, he doesn't need your help with your husband. He just needs your cooperation. He doesn't need you fixing him. Your husband doesn't need a mother. He needs a wife that will love him and stay committed to him and be all in, even when he's not. This is the will of God. And so that's how Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered. It's suffering in the flesh to see when your kids and your husband or your wife or something's not working out and you want to get down off the altar and fix it, but I'm trusting God. I'm staying all in. And God's going to have to work it out. I'm trusting him. That's the will of God. I said, that's the will of God. Titus 3:7, one of the qualifications for leadership is not self-willed. Not self-willed. You know, many Christians are just self-willed. I mean, they're born again. I'm not saying they're not going to heaven, but they're self-willed. You know, the new birth and water baptism are supposed to be the thing that water baptism is supposed to be the thing that says you're all in. The funeral service for the old man. You're the old man died, and you're all in. And then certainly baptism of the Holy Spirit will help you with this. But so many today hold their will out from the process, and then they're selectively obedient. And guys, that it's not the will of God. You cannot. There's not half and half. I'm totally sold out to Jesus. I'm following him. I don't care what that costs me. I don't care how that looks. You know, whatever he tells me. That's why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is huge, because it's a pride buster. And I'm all in. Amen. Where are you? I'm talking about you tonight. Where are you in your walk with God? Now look, I commend you. You're here tonight. But listen, I care about you enough to tell you the truth. The way for you to walk in the will of God, there's no other way. You have to be 110%. You're all in. I'm not back and forth, and I'm not changing. I don't understand this thing about backsliding. I don't understand it. I mean, I guess I see it. People can do it. But what are you going back to? It's like the children of Israel. They want to go back to the leeks and the onions and all this other stuff. Man, Egypt was a bondage. I'm following Jesus. If I have to go out in the wilderness with him, man, I'm going to follow him wherever he takes me. And I know that's, look, the will of God, there's not anything else for me. Nothing back there has anything. I'm not going to be like Lot's wife and put my hand to the plow and look back. I'm all in. I said, I'm all in. And a disciple of Jesus is all in. Let me ask you, church, where are you? No, I don't mean, I want you to ask yourself, Lord, show me. Am I really all in? If there's any area in my life that I'm not, then show me that so I can repent. Because I'm telling you, that's going to hinder you. Wherever you've made provision for your flesh, Romans 13, I think 14, we make provision for our flesh too many times. Wherever you're making provision for your flesh, you're not going to find the will of God there. Wherever you're allowing your flesh to get you down off the altar, you cannot even discover the will of God outside of staying on the altar. A living sacrifice. I'm yours, God. Whatever it is, it's not my retirement. My retirement's not Lord, and I don't have anything against retirements as far as your IRA or, you know, 401k or whatever it is you got. I mean, all that's good, and, you know, 403b and all that. I mean, lay up. But you know, I'm laying up for my children and grandchildren. It's not for me to retire with. I'm going to leave something for my kids. Okay, I'm going to leave something significant for them. And but I'm not planning on retiring. I'm going to refire.
Amen.
And I'm not saying I might not change what I do, but how am I going to determine what I do? I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm not talking about burning out. I'm just saying, Jesus, I belong to you. And whatever you call, whatever, I'm going to be serving you until I fall asleep and go in your arms. That's the will of God. That is the will of God. And we're talking about the will of God. This is it. This is it. It's all in. I'm a living sacrifice. I belong to you, Jesus. Wherever you take me, that's where I'm going. I'm following you. And yeah, I might have initially fear and trepidation in my mind. I mean, I've had that a lot. But I've told you this before, I lean into His grace, man. I just lean big time into His grace. And I've never been in a place where God's asked me to do something that I didn't have some fear and trepidation. I know fear is not from the Lord, but the way I overcome that is I know I'm all in, so I belong to you, Lord. So you know this is your problem. I'm going to lean into you. And I just totally lean into Him, and then He shows up big time. It's awesome. It's awesome. It's amazing. And I don't have it all worked out in my mind. It's not my plan. Look at James, and then I'll try to get to one more point. Is that okay? Is this helpful? Look at James chapter 4, I think it is. Do I have that right? Or maybe James 4, yeah, 13 through 15. James chapter 4, 13 through 15. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will, everybody say, we will. We will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and buy and sell and make a profit. Nothing wrong with buying and selling and make a profit. You can look in Matthew 25. He tells us to buy and sell and get gain. That's a good thing. But here is somebody by the strength of their will, their own plan, they're doing it. Whereas you don't know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. Instead, verse 15, you ought to say, if the Lord what? If the Lord wills, we should live and do this or that. See, here's the issue, guys. You want the will of God. How many of you want the will of God? You cannot get the will of God having your own plan and your own will that you hadn't prayed about. You can't get there. It's not a secret. I mean, this isn't huge, big revelation. This is like major, obvious, simple, that all of us can understand. But you can't get to the will of God trying to promote your own. You ought to ask if the Lord will do this. And again, nothing wrong. Man, I'm not about taking vow of poverty. It's not about anything wrong with buying and selling and getting gain. But the issue is, did the Lord lead you to do that? If the Lord, what is your will? I'm going to do. Look, I'm all. The way I find out His will is I'm all in. I got tired of 3 years of vacillating back and forth, and I got filled with the Spirit and I dove in. And it didn't matter what I had to deal with, what people thought of me, and all this. It didn't matter anymore. I'm all in. And I've been that way. How many of your years that is? That's 39 years. I mean, it's like, you know, I've been with the Lord for that long. And I'm not looking back. I can't even see the shore. And I don't care to. I live too long trying to make my own way. And my aspirations were to be a millionaire by the time I was 30. And we were coming real close to doing that. But I'm a much richer man today. Amen. And I'm not averse to, you know, millions. You can just try me. Okay? But that's not the point. The point is I'm not going to do it by the strength of my will. I find the will of God. And it's too many. I know, because I know young men. I disciple them. Robert and Tammy were in our church right here. They were in our church for a lot of years. And I disciple young men. And that's where most of them, a lot of them are at, is they're in this thing of trying to plan out their life and make the dollar and accomplish the American dream and all this stuff. But listen, guys, that you can't get to the will of God doing that. And I'm with all of my heart, I'm appealing to you today. That it doesn't work. Young men, young women, listen. You cannot find the will of God trying to promote your own. The will of God's real simple. I mean, it's not that He hadn't made it hard. It's you get down, you jump, you dive in off the shore, and you just, Jesus, I'm all in. I'm following you. I'm a disciple of yours. I belong to you. I don't belong to me anymore. Whatever that means. Wherever that takes me, whatever that separates me from, whoever that connects me with, I don't care. And I'm telling you guys, there's no other way to live. There's no other way. And there's no other way to discover the will of God. And yet I know men, I know women, I know people, they never have made the leap. And they're going around the mountain, and they're suffering problems, and they're having the same old problems and the same old stuff, and they're going around the mountain. They never get into the promised land because they got their feet back on the shore. They're looking back there at Egypt instead of trusting God. And it's time. You can't discover the will of God till you're a living sacrifice, till you're all in. It can't happen. It's impossible. I said it's not within the realm of possibility until you trust God fully. I shared with you. I didn't follow God for a lot of years because I was afraid He was going to call me to some God-forsaken place. And then ended up, I was over ministry in Africa. It's amazing. But it wasn't because I had any prejudice against Africans. I didn't know them. That wasn't it. It was I was afraid that a wife, a pretty girl wouldn't follow me, become my wife, and go to some place, whether it was India or China or somewhere. But the problem was my feet were up here. The problem was I pulled myself down off the altar. I wasn't a living sacrifice. The problem was I was making my own plans. I was self-willed, and God could not use me as a kingdom leader until I got back on that altar and just said, Lord, I don't care. I'm yours. And someone here tonight you're born again. Obviously we've already had the altar call. You're born again. You're saved. You may be filled with the Spirit. Pray in other tongues. But that doesn't mean you're on the altar. And that doesn't mean you're in the will of God. The will of God is your living sacrifice. That's it. You can't know the good, acceptable, perfect will of God without being a living sacrifice. And that means your flesh doesn't rule. You yield your flesh. You yield yourself to the Lord. And God, I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. I'm following you. And typically it's not, all that means is initially is, God, I'm here. I'm connected with the local church. I'm going to love people. I'm going to give. I'm going to, submit to you about my money. That was the first thing that happened. That's the least, so that's the first. First thing I did, I was giving $35 a week and making 2,000 a week, 3,000 a week, and giving $35 a week tip to the Methodist church I was going to. Then I'm all in now, filled with the Spirit, and I see this thing about tithing. Jesus, do you know how much 10% of $3,000 is? Do you know that? Or 2,000 or whatever? It's not 35. I can tell you that. Do you know what I could do with this? He didn't say anything. You said that you're mine. Get up, back up an altar, and then just yield and follow me. So yeah, I followed him with my finances. I followed him in the way I treated people. I followed him in submitting to people that I didn't think were as smart as me. I followed him when my pastor made decisions that I didn't agree with. I followed him in my business. I started doing things that, you know, we were doing things that we, to get around paying taxes. And so I started paying taxes and told all my guys, and they said, this is just Greg's conscience money right here, you know. But I mean, it was like, I don't belong to me anymore. Just start with my money. See, that's the will of God, guys. It's the will of God. And you can't get to the rest of the will of God until you're all in. And I can't get to the next point. Y'all are ruining my message. You wonder why you're going around the mountain. You wonder why you've been praying and you've been seeking God and things haven't been working out for your ministry. You wonder why things haven't been working out for your family. You're wondering why things haven't gone the way that you believed and you've prayed and you've heard Pastor talk about and me talk about and everybody else. It's real simple. You're not yet a living sacrifice. It's all or nothing, guys. I said, just look, being born again doesn't cost you anything. Cost Jesus everything. You can go to heaven and not ever do what I'm talking about tonight. Or you can walk in the will of God by saying, God, I'm all in. And I don't come hell or high water, doesn't matter. I'm not getting off that altar. I'm all in. I'm yours. Wherever that takes me, whoever that separates me from, whoever that connects me with, this is the will of God, guys. This is what I'm talking to you about here tonight. This is the will of God. It's the way you prove the good, acceptable, and perfect rest of the will of God for your life. It all starts right here. I'm all in. And I want to give you an opportunity to respond to that tonight. Would you come, Kevin, to the and I'm going to ask Pastor to ask me back sometime so I can finish this message. Okay? But I'm just going to follow the Holy Ghost. I don't care if you're young. I don't care if you're old. You're never too young. You're never too old to respond to the Lord. He's reaching out tonight. He desperately wants the will of God to be released into your life. All the things you've been praying for, all the things that are part of your inheritance, all the things that you've heard preached about, but you've been wandering in a wilderness with your own plans, your own self-will, and maybe it's not 110, maybe it's not 100% complete that way, but there's a part. There's a part of you. There's a part of your life you've held off the altar. And the Lord said, I'm calling for 100% of your life tonight. That's the will of God. I said, that's the will of God. And you can't get to the rest of it until this is true with you. If the Spirit of God's dealing with your heart, I just want you to get up along with these and just come down and just say, Lord, I'm a living sacrifice. God's dealing with your heart. Just come and respond. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
I need you more. Yesterday, need you more. More than words can say, I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord.
Let's sing it with him.
Need you more than yesterday. I need you more than words to say. I need you more than ever before. I need you.
Over your life that you've yielded to him. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to lay hands on you. When I lay hands on you, the fire of God is going to fall and consume this sacrifice. You don't stay on the altar with the strength of your will. It's not making a vow, Lord, I'll never get off again. That's not it at all. It's just saying, Lord, I'm yours. I belong to you. With your help, I'm staying here. I'm all in. I belong to you. By your grace, I'm never going back. By your grace, by your strength, by your power, your keeping power keeps me unto you. Amen? You see that? Just say this, Lord Jesus, I'm yours. I'm yours, God. I'm a living sacrifice. I'm all in. Forgive me for yielding to my flesh and for getting down off the altar. By your grace, not by my will, not by my vow, by your grace, I receive your keeping power to keep me all in. I'm all in, God. I'm all in, God. I'm yours, God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, fire of God. To this church. Listen, this is a church that's all in. We have a pastor that's all in. We have leaders that are all in. And I so appreciate, and more than that, Jesus so appreciates those that have responded. But God's called all of us to reach a world out there to help them fulfill the will of God. And they can't do it either without us being all in. It's not time to hold back. It's not time to, you know, just kind of coast. It's time, Paul, like never before. Karen, it's time like never before that we're all in. Jesus needs us all in. Amen. And he so appreciates you being in that place. John, God's hand is on your life, sir. Praise God. Amen. Come here. Okay, it's not going to be like before. It's not going to be like before. You don't have to fear. You don't have to worry. Okay, the devil's not bigger than God. It's not going to be like before. God's hand is on your life. You're all in. Amen. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for this man of God. Fire of God.